We're holding on page 32. Check that. We're holding on page Yud Zayin, rather, in Brachos Ois Chof Beis. Continuing with things talking about davening and shul and then various aspects of it, the Gemara says, Omer of Chelboy, Omer of Hona, Kolam Ispal Lachode Beis HaKnesses Nikra Rosha. If a person davens behind a shul, and we'll see in a couple of lines what we mean, then he's called a Rosha. The point being, in other words, that he's davening behind the shul, outside of it, rather than coming inside. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Saviv Rishoyim is halachon, the Rishoyim walk around, so we're understanding like they walk around rather than actually going to the shul, Kurum Zulus Livnei Adam. The Gemara is going to douse on what we'll talk about soon, what the second half of the pasuk means. On the Pshat, it means something like when the Rishoyim are successful and they're walking around and dominating everybody, when they're uplifted, Kerum, when they're uplifted, Zulus, Livnei Adam, it's a shameful thing for humanity that Rishoyim are in power like that. But the Gemara is going to darshan later on what the word Kerum, Zulus, Livnei Adam means, but right now we're focusing on Saviv Rishoyim is halachon. They act as Rishoyim, they walk around the shul on the outside rather than going inside. Amar Abaya, but Abaya says, Lo yamon elo dele mahadir ape levei knishta. That would apply, that we're calling him a Rosha, only if he doesn't turn his face towards the shul. But if he turns his face towards the shul, then there's no problem. Now, what's going on over here? Rashi explains like this. The way they used to do at that time was they would have the front of the shul, the Ohr Kodesh, and the direction that people daven would be towards the west. Now, that could be because we're talking about people who lived east of Yerushalayim, or it could be, the Gemara elsewhere talks about the idea of Shechinah B'mayriv. So no matter what direction, from what compass direction from Yerushalayim they were, they may have davened towards the west. Tosfos actually mentions, we who mostly daven towards the east in most parts of the world, then you would have to reverse the directions, but the same principle. Anyway, Rashi says, Achoda Beis HaKnesses then would be that the person is standing behind the shul, meaning behind the front wall of the shul. So let's say, for example, to put it in terms of our shul over here, if let's say a person was standing on Kingston with his back towards the shul. So now Rashi says, when he's not facing towards the shul, then it makes it look like he believes in Shtei Rishoyas, Chas V'Shalom, like he's davening to a different god than everybody else in the shul is. Whereas if he turns towards the shul, then there's no problem. Tosfos now disagrees with that, because Tosfos says, how is that any better, really? He's facing in a different direction than them. So therefore, Tosfos rather understands that we're talking about that he's behind the other side of the shul, meaning in our case over here, that would be in the alleyway over here, and he's facing away from the shul rather than towards it. Rabbeinu Yonah also talks about, in Shulchan Aruch, it brings all these various opinions. And it says, therefore, the best thing is, so if you're standing, so for example, if you're standing in the in behind the shul, then yes, in that case, you daven in the same direction as everybody else. That way you have the best of both. Fine, you're outside the shul. So let's say if you happen to be standing in that alleyway over there, so then you're facing in the direction of the shul, which is also the direction everybody else is davening towards Mizrach, then fine, then there's no problem with that. But if you're standing on, let's say, on the Kingston Avenue side, then you have a problem, because according to the different opinions over here, should you be davening with your back towards the shul and you're facing towards Mizrach, or vice versa, should you be turning around and facing towards the wall of the shul so that you're davening towards the same wall of the shul as everybody else is. So Rashi mentions the point that all the doors used to be on the east, and the door would be in the back. It wasn't like, for example, in our shul, it's 90 degrees from where you come into the door to the direction you daven. But in the shuls in those days, the usual thing was the door was on one side and the direction you daven was exactly the opposite side, 180 degrees away. So therefore, if they daven towards the west, then the door would be towards the east. So that's what I'm saying. Tosfos points out, we who live in countries west of Eretz Yisrael, we daven towards the east. So therefore, it's the other way around. Then you'd have to reverse the directions. So you'd have to be talking about the door would be towards the west and the direction of davening is towards the east. The Rambam, by the way, mentions in a tshuva, and this is brought in Shulchan Aruch, that this all of this only applies if it's a freestanding building, the shul. But if you have, for example, as you have most shuls nowadays, you have other buildings next to them, You have other buildings that are joint that adjoin them that have a joint wall. So then, if you're standing in one of those rooms and you're davening, then it's not a problem if your back is facing towards the shul because you're in another room. You're not in the outside. You're not in full view of the public. Maoshah points out another point over here, which is that that you might actually have the problem might not even be when the person is outside the shul, even when the person is inside the shul. And actually, Tosfos seems to say something along similar lines. Even when the person is inside the shul, if he's diving in a different direction than everybody else, is also a problem. So Maoshah says, "Aye, what about the idea we say, for example, Haroitza Shiyachim Yadrim Shiyashu Yatzpin? If you want to gain chachma, then you turn towards the south, and if you want to gain riches, then you turn towards the north." So he says that could be talking about that would be when you're davening alone, then you can do that. Second of all, when you're davening in shul, it would mean you face completely north or south, means you turn a few degrees in the direction of north or south. But basically, you're facing towards Mizrach or towards Ma'ariv or whatever direction the rest of the Mespalim are davening. Yeah, so I'll drop a few degrees or whatever, yeah. So the bottom line is we do have a situation where a person is davening outside the shul and in a different direction, and it's a problem. So the Gemara says, "Ahu gavra de kamatz the achoda beis haknesses or beit mishta." There was once a man who was doing that. He was davening outside behind the shul in the wrong direction. So he was outside the shul. He didn't turn his face towards the shul. So according to Rashi, again, he's standing on the Kingston Avenue side and facing with his back towards the shul. According to Tosfos and according to Rabbeinu Yonah, he might be standing on the alleyway side, let's say, and facing in a different direction than everybody else. Anyway, Cholaf Eliyahu Anovi came by, Idmi Lekitaya, and appeared to him like an Arab merchant. Omele and Eliyahu in this disguise says to the guy, "How could you do that? Kedu bar kaimas kami morach? How could you stand like that, as if there were shtei rishuyas, as if there were two gods, chas v'shalom, in front of your master?" Rashi explains the word that the chof is light, the regular chof adimian, light. Du means two. We find in various places in Shas where the word du or du means two. And bar means rishuyas. So kedu bar means you're acting as though there are two rishuyas, as though everybody else in the shul is davening to one god and you're davening to a different one. The Aruch brings a different explanation about it. He says the word dubar is actually one word, and he says it's actually an Arab word that means, it's actually an Arabic word that means a person's backside. So it means like, how dare you stand over there with your back towards your master? Shalaf safsira v'kaple. So he pulled out a sword and killed the guy. Now, Maoshah asks, but a literal Missa that he goes and kills him? So Maoshah says that actually the Idmi Lekitaya is not referring to Eliyahu. It means that when this guy was standing over there and davening in a different direction, he appeared to Eliyahu like an Arab. And therefore Eliyahu went and killed him for his chutzpah. Other Mephoshim talk about the point also, maybe it doesn't literally mean that Eliyahu killed him, but rather that afterwards the guy had such pangs of conscience that he realized I would have deserved to be killed for acting that way. So now that we dealt with the first half of the pasuk, so now the Gemara is going to deal with the second half. Omru le ha-humir abonan l'rabibi barabaya, va'amri l'rabibi l'rabnachim le'yitzchak. So some of the Chachamim asked Rabbi Barabaya, or Rabbi asked Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak, "My kerum zulus l'bnei adam." What does the second half of that pasuk mean? Now, especially, we're saying that we just said the first half of the pasuk, "Saviv Rishoyim Yisalachon," is talking about people who daven outside the shul and facing in the, or even inside the shul, as Marashah says, and facing in the wrong direction. So, what does the second half of the pasuk have to do with the first? Omalei, so Rabbi Barabaya or Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak answered, "Eilu dvarim ha'imdim berumei shel olam." This pasuk is referring to things that are at the height of the world. They're extremely important things. In particular, Rashi says tefillah goes up l'mayla. So therefore, that's kirum. You're talking about something that is elevated. Ubnei adam mezalzel behem, but people treat it casually and contemptuously. So kirum, something that should be so important, zulus, people consider it. People are mezalzel on it. So the pasuk is criticizing people who do that. And in fact, Maoshah says that this is what we're just talking about, that a person is careless, for example, with the direction that he davens in. So that's what we're saying. He should consider it's vitally important, and yet he thinks that it's nothing important. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar d'ami tavayu. Then on the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar both give a different explanation of kirum zulus l'bnei adam. It means kiven shenitzrach adam labrius. When a person ends up needing help from people, he requires tzedakah. Then his face turns colors out of embarrassment, like a krum, which the Gemara is going to say in a second, is the name of a very colorful bird. Now, the word krum might actually be related to the word chrome, which in English, which ultimately comes from a Greek word that means color, because that metal is very colorful. So maybe there's a relationship. I don't know. Anyway, the point is, so therefore the krum, his face changes colors like a krum, zulus, and he becomes a mezuzal. He becomes treated lightly and treated contemptuously, livnei odem, by people. Shenema, krum zulus livnei odem. So my krum, what does this word krum mean? He also of Dimi Oma, when Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he explained, Oif echad yesh b'krake hayam, there's a certain bird in the towns near the sea, Oshmoy krum, the name of this bird is krum, v'kimen shechama zerachas olav, when the sun shines on this bird, mishapach l'kama gvanin, then it turns many different colors, like the sun shines off its feathers, and it looks like a beautiful rainbow of colors. So now we're saying, no, that on the other hand, a person is embarrassed by the fact that he requires tzedakah. So in particular, so we know from other Gemaras, Marsha refers to, that we have the expression ozel sunkov alsi chivra, a person's face turns red and then it turns white from embarrassment. So therefore, he's literally turning different colors. And the point is, Marsha says, in that case, it actually goes together with the first half of the pasuk then. Saviv reshoyim is halachun, we can understand it differently. We know that when Reuven owes money to Shimon, the halacha is Shimon is not allowed to walk in front of Reuven because he's going to embarrass him. Every time Reuven sees Shimon, he's going to be embarrassed realizing that he owes him money. So what happens? So if Shimon is a Rasha, then he will davka walk in front of Reuven to embarrass him. So Saviv Rishoyim is halacha. The Rishoyim walk around in order to embarrass the people who owe them money. And then goes the second half of the pasuk, Krum Zulus Levnei Adam, that they're causing him to turn colors out of embarrassment and treating him contemptuously. And Rab Ami and Rab Asi, Da Ami Tavayu, Rab Ami and Rab Asi both say, Ke'ilu Nidin B'Shnei Dinin Eishu Mayim. In fact, a person who owes money to people and doesn't have what to pay, it's as if he's being judged with fire and with water, which Maharsha says, that's the red and the white. His face turns red, which is like fire, and then white, like water. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, you kav to enish l'resheinu, you made, literally the Pasuk means you've made people wide over our heads, but the Gemara's Daushening over here, Rashi explains, the word resheinu can also be understood as related to the Aramaic word rashia, which means a person who owes money, a debtor. So therefore, you kav to enish, made people wide, l'resheinu, over us, that we owe them money, and bonu, the pasuk continues, bonu ba'esh v'mayim, we've gone through fire and water. So a person feels that kind of fire and water when he owes money and he doesn't have what to pay. The point is, Ion Yaakov says, the connection with the previous Gemara that we were talking about davening is therefore also, so a person should be sure to daven for parnosa b'revach, so he won't end up in this situation. So therefore, now when a person is not careful about going to shul, which is what we were talking about before, then he may wind up in this situation. The Gemara continues. Va'amar Rav Chelbei Amar Rav Huna. Another thing that Rav Chelbei said in the name of Rav Huna, as usual, once the Gemara brings one memory from him, then it brings others. La'olam yizahar adam b'tfilas ha-mincha. A person should always be careful with tfilas ha-mincha. Because we see that Eliyahu was answered by Har HaKarmel only by Tefillas HaMincha. So we'll talk about in a second what being careful is. We'll get to that. Shenema, as the pasuk says, by Hiba Aloy Samincha, when the Mincha was being offered, meaning at the time when the Mincha would have been offered in the Bis Mikdash. Meanwhile, they're on Har HaKarmel, a couple of dozen miles away. But anyway, Vayigash Eliyahu HaNavi Vayoyim HaRegoyim. Eliyahu HaNavi approached, and he said, and he asked Hashem to show the nest. And what he asked, we'll get to in a minute. But so what do we mean? So first of all, there's a vort in Hayyim Yom that brings one of the early Torahs that the Alter Rebbe said when he first said in Lajna that The deeper meaning of it is, when you think about it, Shachris and Ma'ariv are not during a person's workday. Shachris is before the person goes to work. Ma'ariv is after he's done for the day. So therefore, so a person does those, there's no, of course, it's a Maila, and the Gemara is going to say, you have to be soon, we have to be careful with those as well. But Mincha, where a person has to break off in the middle of his work, so La'olam Yet Yizahar Adam, so Yizahar, the Alter Rebbe explained, is Meloshon Zohar, Meloshon lighting up. How does it, a person's neshama is lit up, and he becomes an Adam. He becomes what a person should really be through breaking off of his work in order to daven tefillas mincha. So according to that, it's not particularly that he has to daven in at the first opportunity. Just the very fact that he stops in the middle of his workday and takes time out for mincha is itself the yizar. Marsha says that yeah, it does mean that he should daven in as soon as possible. And the point is that since it says vayhi ba'aloi sam mincha means right when it came the time for the offering of the korban tamid, Rabbi Abayim is right away. Then Eliyahu approached the mizbeach and offered his korban and asked Hashem to send the fire. The Rashba has a long explanation of it over here that. He explains the idea behind why do we have tefillas at the various times of the day that we do. The idea is, as we want to show that everything that Hashem created changes, even the tzva shemayim, you have the sun rises and it sets. There's nothing that has any permanence except the Eidishter himself. So therefore, every time that the day is changing, you're going from day to night, or you're going from the first half of the day to the second half of the day, then you daven and you demonstrate that you're acknowledging that point. So mincha particularly, therefore, so he goes on to say that what happened in this story with Eliyahu and the Nevi'ah Baal, what happened? The Nevi'ah Baal weren't stupid, neither were the people in general who were worshiping the Baal. They didn't believe that the Baal created everything. They believed that Eivishta created the world, but then, you know, as the famous philosophical idea is, that he delegated it to lesser creatures to run instead. So now, by mincha time specifically, so now he goes on to explain in detail. So what happens? The pasuk says that as it was coming mincha time, as it was coming the afternoon, and the Nevi'ah Baal are trying so hard to get a fire on their mizbeach, and it says Eliyahu started laughing at them and saying, maybe your God is sleeping, maybe he went to the bathroom, maybe whatever. He's pointing out to them like this: you guys, you think that your Baal has power when the sun is high in the sky, but you don't realize it changes. After a while, it starts setting. And then your koyach is going away. So yeah, maybe your God went to the bathroom or whatever, and because now he's weaker. So on the other hand, I'm going to daven now at mincha and demonstrate that Hashem runs the world and that Hashem never changes. In fact, he says, this is what we say every day in Hoidu, we have the line, ki kol alekeho amim elilim v'Hashem shamayim osa. What's the connection? Why do we have to focus on the fact that Hashem created the Shemayim? He says that's the point that we're stressing. The Goyim have their various elilim, including that they think, for example, that Hashem delegated things to the sun and the moon and the stars and what have you. We stress that no, all of those are changeable. Only Hashem made the Shemayim, and Hashem decides when they do their various things, and therefore he's the one that we believe in, and he's the one that we worship. So now that's the importance that Rashba says of Tfilas HaMincha, is it's the time of day when you demonstrate this idea that the power of the sun is weakening, but the power of Hashem is still powerful. Now the pasuk continues that Eliyahu said Aneni Hashem Aneni. So why the double Aneni? Number one, Aneni Shateret Esh Min Hashemayim, because he's saying two things. Answer me, that fire should come down from Shemayim. The Nevi'ah Baal have been trying for hours; they weren't able to. So show the nest, because that was how the thing was supposed to work. And Vaneni, the second Aneni, Shelo Yomu Maisik Shofenheim. They shouldn't think that I did it by magic. So therefore, now, why is the Gemara bringing in this point over here? So the Rashba goes on with his explanation over here, that the point was that given that Eliyahu is trying to demonstrate that he's able to accomplish it when the power of the sun is weakening, he doesn't want, on the other hand, people to think that people shouldn't think, okay, so maybe he's accomplishing it with some other kind of kishuk or something like that. So therefore, he needs to stress the point that everybody should realize that Hashem actually brought it about. Anaf Yosef points out another point as well. When the power of the sun weakens at nighttime is more the time when Kishuf was more effective. So therefore, people are apt to think, you know why Eliyahu waited till Mincha? Not because it's an Eis Ratzon, because he needed the sun to be weaker in order to be able to do his Kishuf. So therefore, he specifically asked to daven to Hashem, let people realize, Adarabba, I didn't wait till now because I need the powers of Kishuf to be stronger. I waited till now because Mincha is a special Eis Ratzon. So the Gemara continues, Rabbi Yochanan Amar af b'tfilas arvus. Rabbi Yochanan says you also have to be careful with tfilas arvus. We're saying you have to be careful with mincha, and there's the importance of davening right away and to interrupt in the middle of your workday, but also tfilas arvus, you have to be careful in the same way. Realize how important it is. And again, this goes with what the Rashba is saying, that again, at Ma'ariv time, you're acknowledging that the sun have set, and whatever the goyim believe in may have set, but Hashem is still powerful, and we acknowledge that. As the pasuk says, "Tikan tefilasi k'todas l'fanecha." Let my tefila be ready before you, like todas. Masas kapai minchas arev. When I lift up my hands at the time of the mincha of the evening, which means Marsha says, what do we have? They bring the Talmud Shabbat Abayim, and after that comes the k'todas. It's the only avoda that's done after the Talmud Shabbat Abayim. So therefore, that then goes to. That's why the pasuk is comparing ma'ariv to k'todas. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar after Tefillas Shachris. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says you also have to be careful with Shachris for the same reason. Hashem Boker Tishma Koli V'Gomer, as the pasuk says, Hashem listen to my voice in the morning. And in fact, Samar Shah says the pasuk actually says the word Boker twice in the pasuk. Hashem Boker Tishma Koli Boker Erech Lachav Atzapa. It's a pasuk in capital Hay. So therefore, so it represents again the same way as we say that the Keturis, we say, the Gemara explains in Yuma, I think it is, that the Keturis in the morning comes before the Talmud Shal Shachar. Why? Because the Keturis, it says on it, Baboiker, Baboiker, whereas the Talmud, it only says Baboiker. So Baboiker, Baboiker implies earlier. So the same way, when it says twice over here, Boiker, in the Pasuk, then it's referring to the Keturis, and therefore we're also referring to Hashem hearing our voice in the Tefillah of Shachris. Eitz Yosef talks about over here the idea that, for example, that Reb Chelboy just focused on Mincha, because after all, listen, Shachris and Ma'ariv, like we said before and after, before you start your work and after you're done with it, but Mincha, you need to interrupt in the middle, and then Reb Nachman is saying the fact is you have to make sure to be careful with Shachris as well, otherwise you might sleep in, and Reb Yochanan is saying you have to be careful with Ma'ariv, because after all, it's going to be late. We learned already earlier in the perek that a person is apt to say, I came home from work, I'm tired, let me eat and take a little nap, and then I'll daven in Ma'ariv. So all of them are talking about the different aspects. They have to be careful with it. Gemara continues, V'omer Reb Chel by Omer Abuna, Kol ananim is suda chosen. Anybody who enjoys the suda of a chosen, the suda at a wedding, the ainim is samcha, and he's not mesameach the chosen and kala over behei kovus. He's over on five sounds, meaning we find in the pasuk, as we're going to quote, that Hashem benched the Jewish people with five sounds, and he's saying like they're not important. Shenema kol chosen, the kol simcha, kol chosen, the kol kala, kol oimim hoidu. It's a pasuk in Yirmiyah. In the brachas, in the Sheva brachas, we mention the first four of them. We don't mention kol omim hodu l'Hashem kito, but it is there in the pasuk. So therefore, he's being mezalzel on those five kolos. Marsha explains the idea behind five kolos is we know that there are hei mitzoris apeh. There are five different places in the mouth and in the throat where sounds are articulated, the teeth, the palate, and the throat, and so forth. So that's the five purpose. And the Gemara continues, v'im mesamchoi maskoroi. So if he is mesameach b'chosin and kala, then what's his schar? Amrei b'shov and levi, zoicha l'toda shenitna b'hei koilas. Then for that, he's zoicha to be able to learn and understand the Torah, which was also given with five koilas. Shenema v'hi b'yim ha-shlishiv gomer, v'hi koilois, which is two, the koil shofar v'gomer, v'hi koil ha-shofar v'gomer, v'hal l'kimyan and v'koil v'gomer. So five times also there, it mentions the concept of koil. Which means, in other words, the point is, so it wasn't just, Marsha says, it wasn't just a curl posture, it wasn't just a sound like the way you have, it talks about in Tanya, that you have the basic, how are all the letters formed when you speak? You have a curl posture that comes from the lungs, and then it gets broken up into the various letters by the various organs of speech. So here, the point is that the Torah was given with hey, koilus. And Also, so Marsha goes on to explain that, so again, the hey koilas by the chosin kala is that you actually say words to be mesameach them, and part of that is that you're mentioning praises of Hashem. That's why it says koil omrim hodu Hashem kitov. And then when it comes to the Torah, the idea is that you have also, it was a wedding, it was the wedding of us Jewish people with Hashem. So therefore, one goes with the other. So the Gemara asks, Ain E, you're telling me that it only says five koilas by Matan Torah? After Matan Torah, at the end of Parashas Yisro, it says that everybody heard the koilas. Everybody saw the koilas, rather. So that's another two koilas, so you're up to seven. And the answer is no. Oisim koilas to koida Matan Torah, Abu. No, the pasuk is just reiterating about the koilas that were before by Matan Torah. So Rashi explains, in other words, that we know the famous thing, Royan Esanishma, they were able to hear, they were able to see the sounds by Matan Torah. So therefore, when it says V'cholam Royan Esakolas, is meant to stress that point, but not to say that there were more kolas than just the five that we mentioned. Marsha explains that given that we said before, there's the Koil Poshut, so V'cholam Royan Esakolas means, in other words, that they saw this Koil Poshut being divided into the different kinds of letters, and they saw the actual Osius Adib. There's a number of places, a number of my Mori Chassidus that focus on this Kolam Nene and Chamisha Koilas. There's a Maimer of the Alter Rebbe that talks about the idea that a Chosin and Kala is a Sgalus of something that's Ne'elam, in the same way Torah is also revealing something that was hidden from us, and therefore that's the connection between the two of them. And he explains why Dafka five is because you have five levels. It talks about it someplace in Tanya, I don't remember now where, that there's five levels between Chochma and Maise. You have, what is it? Chochma, Bina, Das, Dibur, and Maise. So therefore that's the five that we're talking about over here. There's a Maimer of the Friedrich Rebbe, which he said at the Rebbe and the Rebbetzin's wedding. It's in Sefer HaMamon Kuntresim, where he talks about a different angle on it. A person is Nen, a Misimchas Chosin Bekala, and Misamchoi, it shows that he has good midas. So he's happy with somebody else's Simcha. Therefore, when we say Zoicha, the Torah, means that his Torah becomes Zach, becomes refined, becomes pure, because that's in order to learning Torah ultimately goes together with good midas. Later on in the parak, we're going to have a line, or actually in the next parak, we're going to have later on in Brachas, we're going to have the line that tachlis Torah, tshuva meisim tovim, which is another mime that Friedrich had ever said on that occasion. But anyway, so we're talking about that he's being the sameach chos in the kalam. Marsha says particularly it means that he's the sameach them with words. So for Pashtos, I guess, I mean, if he's mesameach them in other ways, I guess it would also be, but we're mainly focusing.
The Mashtos says,
we learned yesterday, Agra debe hilula mil. Yeah, that's true. We learned in the Gemara yesterday. Yeah, Marsha actually refers to it over here. The main schar a person gets for being by a wedding is the words that he says to be mesameach chos in the kalam. I mean, I guess you could say if he's doing the sameach chos in the kala in other ways by dancing or by lighting his hat on fire is also myla, but the ikker is let him use his words as well. I was going to say also there's a sicha in Chelik Vav where the Rebbe talks about also the idea behind this chamisha koilas and the whole connection over there. The Rebbe develops the idea over there that you have this four, you have a domim semeach chayim medaber, and then you have the orin soif that's inside all of it, and that relates to the chosin kala because the fact that they have now the ability to have children, which is the koyach ein soif that's in the world, and the same thing, and it connects to the Torah, which is also related, which also comes from the Orin soif, and that's why we're talking about the five koilas, and that's the connection between the chosin and kala and Torah. So the Gemara continues. Also, a person who's in sameach chosin b'kala is as if he brought a korban Torah. Shenema, that same pasuk in Yirmiyah continues, Mivim Toda Beis Hashem, the people bringing a Toda to the house of Hashem. So Marashah says, the connection is, because we just said that you're saying words of praise to the Chosin, and you're also mentioning the Chesed of Hashem, so therefore it's the equivalent of bringing a Korban Toda. And then Reb Nachum Yitzchok Amar Kilo Bona Achas Mechurbes Yerushalayim. Reb Nachum Yitzchok says it's as if he built one of the ruins of Yerushalayim. Shenemar, that same pasuk in Yirmiyah continues, Ki Oshev Shavus Haaretz Kvarishona Amar Hashem, that Hashem says I will restore the captivity of the land like it was originally. So there, in other words, Hashem is saying, I'll rebuild the ruins of Yerushalayim and the end of the Beis Hamikdash. So therefore, a person is Mesameach Chosin B'Kala, as in the first half of the pasuk, then it's considered that he accomplished that. Marsha explains the point is, the Gemara tells us in Shavuos, a long explanation over there, if they wanted to enlarge the city of Yerushalayim to make that a greater area for eating Kodesh and Kalim, or if they wanted to enlarge the Azara, and then there was a whole procedure, and part of that procedure, which is described also in Pesukim in Nehemiah, is that they would take a Toidah and circle around the walls of Yerushalayim, including the area that now they're annexing to Yerushalayim. So therefore, bringing a Toidah and rebuilding Yerushalayim is directly connected, and that's why Reb Nachman Yitzchok is connecting them over here. There's an explanation from the Kli Yoker and Ola Sefraim that says that also the Gemara is saying, you know, that you have Torah, Avoda, and Gemilas Chasadim. You have Torah, which we just said, Zoichel Torah, Chamisha Kodolos, Avoda, which is the Koven Torah, and Gemilas Chasadim, which is rebuilding the ruins of Yerushalayim. The Gemara continues, anybody who has Yiras Shemayim, his words will be listened to. And one of the explanations of that is, like this, when he doesn't have Yiras Shemayim, then if he tells off people, if he gives them Musar, they're going to tell him, Toh Kesim Ben Shinecha, you know, take out the beam from between your eyes before you start telling me off. But if he has Yiras Shemayim, they can't say that. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Soif Javar Akol Nishma, the end of the matter, when everything is heard, Eser Lekim Yirah, Fiu Hashem, Besvitz Moisiv Shemur, and observe his mitzvahs, Ki Zeh Kol Ha'odim, because this is the entire person. So in other words, we're understanding Soif Dover, in other words, Maharsha says, if it just meant to say, if Shlomo is giving instructions, make sure to listen to Hashem, then it should have said Sa'akol Tishma, that you should listen to everything Hashem says. So instead, Akol Nishma means, in other words, if a person lives up to Aser Lekim Yirah, then Soif Dover at the end, Akol Nishma, everything that he says will be listened to, because people will pay attention to what he says. There's a story involving the Rebbe Maharash along these lines where one time there's a couple that was having Shalom Bayis issues and they wanted to get divorced. They come to the Rebbe Maharash, he's trying to talk them out of it, and the husband doesn't want to listen. So the Rebbe Maharash sits over there with his head on his hands for a while, and he says, the Gemara says, Kol Adam Sheyesh B'Yiras Shemayim, Vodam Nishmoyim. So if I'm not being listened to, evidently I need to improve my Yiras Shemayim. And the guy was so startled by that he agreed to listen then to what the Rebbe Maharash tells him. So the Gemara says, "My kizek kol adam." What is that? The last part of the pasuk, "kizek kol adam." What does that mean? Amar Rabbi Lazar, Amar Hakadosh Baruch Hu, means Hashem is saying, "Kol olam kulo le nivra ela b'shvil zeh." The whole world was created only for a person who has yiras shemayim, who is yirei elikim. Rabbi Abba Bakahana says a different way of putting it, that this such a person is equivalent to the whole world. The whole world was created only to accompany this person. So what do we have the three different points over here? So Akosif says like this. The first one means when he says that the whole world was created Ela B'Shvil Zeh, means in other words that Rabbi Lazar is saying the whole rest of the world doesn't even need to exist. There's no need for any of the other creatures in the world, only for the one who's Yarei Shemayim. Necessarily, because this person had to exist, then therefore the rest of the world had to be created. Now, Rab Abba Bakahana is saying, no, you can't really say that. You can't say that everything else should be considered Labatola. So he says, no, Shokul Kenegan Tolam Kulay, everything else, all the other creatures are needed in the world, but this person all by himself is equal in value to all of them. And then Ben Azay says that, after all, what are you going to say? The whole rest of the world is equal to the Yorei Es Hashem? So he says, no, the whole world was created, everybody else and everything else in the world was created only to accompany him. So in other words, that the fact is, even the Yorei Hashem needs people to do things for him. He needs people to bake bread for him and make clothes for him and so on and so forth. So the whole world was created. They have a purpose in that they're helping him out. In fact, he refers to later on in the Masechta, we have a line where Ben Zoyma himself is saying over here, V'amri Lord of Shem Ben Zoyma, that he says about the rest of the world that the Baruch Shabaruch Kol Eilu B'Sham Sheni, blessed is Hashem, who created everything and created all these other people to serve me, because they all go about doing their business, and ultimately it's there in order to benefit the Talmud Chacham, the Yorei Shemayim. Mao Shah talks about you have three different levels of the world. You have the world of the Malachim, so that world was created only for the Yorei Shamayim. Then you have the world of the planets and the stars and everything, so that was created. So that we're saying is equal to him. And then we have the Olam HaTachton, the Gashmiistic world that we live in, is created, let's say, as he's saying, he brings the same thing as Akosiv about the idea that they're there in order to serve him and make him be able to do his, to be able to do his avod. Worth mentioning in this connection, by the way, something that Rambam says, you can have, for example, he describes, you can have a king builds an enormous palace and spends millions of dollars and spends many years on having the thing built. And what's the purpose? That one day a tzaddik is going to be walking by and it's a hot day and he's able to sit in the shadow of the building for a couple of minutes. So this is an example of what we're talking about over here. That whole palace and everything that went into it was worth it just for that. The Gemara says, "V'amar Rav Chelbei, Amar Rav Huna, kol shiyadeh b'chaveru shu roger litam le'shalom." If a person knows that the other person regularly says hello to him, or shalom means more than just hello, means you're actually saying, you actually shalom is actually a name of Hashem. You bring down all the course to him. Yakdim le'shalom. You shouldn't wait for him to say shalom first. You should say shalom first. Shenema bakish shalom v'radfehu, as the pasuk says, seek shalom and run after it. So chase after it. So in other words, that now and Rav Chelbei continues, "V'im nasan levelai hefsa nikur gazlan." If he does say shalom to him and the other person doesn't answer back, then he's called a gazlan. Shenema va'atim bi'artim akerim, as the pasuk says, "You are ruining the vineyard. You Jewish people are not acting properly. Are ruining the vineyard. The Jewish people are compared to a vineyard." Gzela sa'oni bevateichem. What you steal from the oni is in your house. Now, what do you steal from an oni? I mean, first of all, what do you steal from an oni? And second of all, it's equally a problem to steal from a rich person as well. What it means is the oni has nothing else that you can steal from him except that you didn't tell him shalom when he gave it to you. So Maharal Shah says, now the point is, if the other person is not roger l'hakdim l'shalom, then taka, don't initiate shalom to him, because then he may not answer back, and you've just been machshel him in being a gazlan, as we just said. On the other hand, he says, we find other gemaras where we find it says Rav Chista would say shalom to a goy. So Maharal Shah says, okay, if the goy doesn't answer back, so he'll be a gazlan, big deal. We don't care if a goy is that. There's also a point over there, the gemara mentions over there, that you're not supposed to say shalom twice to a goy. So if he initiates the shalom and you answer back, then you may have to, the etiquette would be that you'd have to say shalom twice, and you're not supposed to do that. So that would be another reason why he's makdim shalom. There's a footnote over here that actually refers to something in Shulchan Aruch from the Taz that mentions that point as well. The Taz does say over there, though, that it's really only when you're saying shalom, which is after all a name of Hashem, it's not really such an issue when you're saying hello or some other random expression like that. Yom Yom Mashiach Ha'Gu'ola, Dalad Tishrei. Has it ever talked about the Avoida that we say, Kol Yomei Chayecha L'Hobi L'Mos Mashiach, that everything in your life should be in order to bring the days of Mashiach? That should be, and that has to be, even at this moment. And that means that we have a new Hisoros with a new renewed strength from the Etzma Neshama through adding one more mitzvah in order to it, that Rambam says, to incline the scale for himself and the whole world to the side of Schus and bring Tshuva V'Hatzalah. And this doesn't mean tremendously high things that have to do with Yechidah, like learning and spreading Torah Chassidus. It means also, and Be'ikr, Poshita things, like, for example, helping out a Yid B'Gashmius, which have to do with his Etzim Metzius, with his Neshama in the Guf. So give him Tzedakah, Poshita. Halacha. We started learning Hilchas Ma'acholos Asuris. Fish blood is mutter. But if it's in a container, then it's also, because manas ayin, so therefore, if you can tell it's from fish, for example, there are scales in it, it would be mutter. You have similar kinds of things also as far as milk, where if you have, for example, almond milk or soy milk or whatever, then you have to make it nicker that it is that if you're going to be eating it with meat. So, for example, you leave the container on the table.